Father, I love you, Lord. We all love you. We thank you because you loved us first. Glory to God. We thank you for your greatness. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your word. The entrance of your word, we know, brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We ask that that light will shine in our hearts this morning, giving us understanding of what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Praise the Lord. Give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Now, the election of grace, it's a great mystery that has been kept secret since the world began. But, you know, God's revealing it at whatever time he pleases, and even now. Let's start at Romans chapter 16. I'm going to, you know, read some scriptures and tell you some things, and then you're going to understand what we're talking about here. But first, let's talk about Romans chapter 16 from verses 25 to 27. You know, this is how God chooses to keep some things. I mean, he chose rather to keep some things secret. That was his choice. And whenever, you know, it was time for him to release, well, then it was time for him to release. What he keeps secret, he keeps secret. What he releases, he releases. As a matter of fact, before I read that Romans, let me read, let me just quote Deuteronomy 29:29. Tells us, you know, the same thing, that the secret things belong unto the Lord, our God, but the things that he has revealed, now those things belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the Lord, of this law, of the word of the Lord. You know, so God keeps some things secret. He reveals some things. It's all up to him how he does it. And he chooses what he wants to choose. He does all these things how he wants it. And nobody can say to him, what doest thou? You know, he does as he wills in the army of heaven. And whatever he does, even in the kingdoms of men. So, but let's read this. Romans chapter 16, and see what was in God's mind from the beginning that was being kept secret, some things, even until now. I'm going to read from verse 25 of Romans chapter 16. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, see, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, we understand some of the mystery as well, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, now made known to all nations, you know, for the purpose that we may be in obedience of the faith. Now, to God only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Now, in this text, we see that God kept something secret since the world began. It's called the mystery. What is the mystery? Well, there's a lot of mysteries, plural, but there was one great mystery which was kept secret before the world began. How that God would choose Israel only for the first time, and then, you know, in his mind, he knew that they would reject him, and then he would turn to the Gentiles. Now, that's a great mystery. Paul wrote quite a bit about it in the book of Ephesians. You know, he called it the commonwealth of Israel, and he called it that those of us who were outside that commonwealth were aliens. You know, we've been brought in by grace. And we see Jesus hanging upon the cross, one hand stretching over here, another arm stretching over here, for God to reconcile all things in Christ, is what we are told finally at the end. Both Gentile and Jew, Greek and free, bond, everybody coming together in Christ. Now, that's a great mystery. Even the apostles at the beginning, they didn't understand it. They didn't understand that the Gentiles would be called. So that's one part of the great mystery. Even, you know, God had to explain it to Paul and Peter, and all of them. They all started out, even Jesus told them, you go first to the household of the Jews. Don't go the way of the Gentiles, go to the Jews first. But he knew, see, that they would reject him. But he had to give them the right of what we call the right of first refusal. Well, first you go to the Jews, and let them turn him down. Then you go to the Gentiles. We see that, you know, Jesus himself told a parable similar to that. And in some cases, the apostles, they experienced that. You know, they would go and then they would say, well, you know, because you have judged yourself not to be worthy, we turn to the Gentiles, you know, stuff like that. So Jesus told, you know, we call it the parable, of the two sons, where, you know, he said, well, a man, you know, had two sons, you know, and he came and spoke to the first and said, well, go walk in my field today. And he said, I'm not going. I mean, flat out said he's not going. Now, if he had said, I'm going, you know, maybe the man would not have asked the second. But he flat out said, I'm not going. So because he says that, then he goes out and asks the second, say, well, go walk in my vineyard today. And the second one said, yeah, right away, sir, I go. But he did not go. And finally, the one who said, I wasn't going, repented and went. And so Jesus asked the disciples, I mean, the Jews, well, which of the two do you think did the Father's will? So let's read that for a bit. In Matthew 21, verses 28 to 32, let's read this parable that Jesus told of the two sons. Now, this is a great mystery. You know, people didn't understand it. The apostles didn't understand it. You know, but Jesus told this parable. So let's read it. What think ye, he said, Matthew 21 and verse 28. A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go walk in my field or my vineyard today. And he said, I will not go. That's what he said. But afterward, he repented. Well, at that time that he said, he will not go. Yeah, the father didn't know he was going to repent. That's the earthly father. Of course, God knew everything. So, said, I'm not going. So, now he goes to the second one and say, well, go walk in my field today. As your brother said, he's not going. So, this one said, yes, sir, right away. But he did not go. So, now Jesus said, the other first one that said he wasn't going repented and did it. The second one that said I was going did not do it. So, Jesus asked the crowd, which of the two do you think did his father's will? Well, and this was the answer they said, you know. They said the first. So Jesus said unto them, well, verily I say unto you that you know, there are publicans and harlots and different things, people that are rejected that will go into the kingdom of God even before you. You know, say, well, what does that mean? What does that have to do with this lesson? Well, what it has to do with this lesson is that the way God chooses different than the way we choose. First of all, God chose to give Israel first chance, but he knew they would reject him, and they did. I mean, even Peter in Acts chapter 10, God had to train him because everybody thought the Gentiles were, you know, not part of anything that God had in mind. So God was showing Peter visions. And he said, rise and kill. And Peter said, no, I can't. I've never eaten anything that's unclean in my life. And the Lord said, whatever I have called clean, don't you dare call that thing unclean. And that vision was repeated to him three times. And he didn't understand it until he got to the house of Cornelius. You can read that story in Acts chapter 10. Meanwhile, an angel appeared to Cornelius and told him to send for Peter. Peter was being told, well, being prepared this way. So when the people came, knocked at the door, the Spirit told him, there are people that are asking for you at the door. Ask no questions. Just go with them. So when Peter got there, and Cornelius narrated the story. He said, well, I was in prayer, such and such. The Lord told me, you know, to call for you, and here we are. So all my family is assembled here. So tell us, what words do you have for us from the Lord? Peter, well, he opened his mouth, began to preach. As soon as he started preaching, Holy Ghost fell on the Gentiles. And Peter said, wow. You know, because I mean, at that time, I think he was even half-heartedly preaching the gospel to them. But now they're even really sure, you know, these are Gentiles anyway. You know, I don't think, you know, I don't know. So in his mind, it's kind of like that. But when the Holy Ghost fell, he said, now we know that of a truth, God is not a respecter of persons. And wherever anybody, anywhere, when they fear the Lord, God will accept them. But, you know, whether they are Jews, Greek, whoever. So finally, he got the message. Now, Paul also had opportunity to preach first, you know, to the Jews. Well, he preached to the Jews and he said, well, you know, the Jews rejected him. He said, well, in as much as you guys, you know, have counted yourself to be unworthy of the grace of God, you know, well, then we turn to the Gentiles. So first they gave the Jews the chance. And then later they turned to the Gentiles. So after they turned to the Gentiles, hold on a second, please. Have some distraction here. Hold on a second. Sorry, folks, I have some distractions here. Things are different here. There's noise all around me. So anyway, I was saying that Paul was sent first to the Jews. And after the Jews rejected him, then he turned to the Gentiles. And that was a mystery. That was something that God had planned. And then we see that throughout the Bible, even Jesus himself explaining that, you know, to the Syrophoenician woman, he said, well, you know, I'm called and sent, or rather I'm sent to the chosen of the children of Israel first. And said, I can't give that which belongs to the children to the dogs, you know, and so on and so forth. Yeah? We'll see that was a mystery. But at the end, God already had something in mind, how that he's going to bring everything together, you know, into one in Christ. There is a scripture that says here in Ephesians chapter 3, talking about how God brings everything together in Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, let's read verse 10. You know, this wisdom of God, the eternal purpose of God, not everybody knew about it, not even the angels, but the Bible said, now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places, that now being known the manifold wisdom of God, it's being revealed even through the church. Inside the church is composed of not only the Jews, but the Gentiles. And it's not only the Gentiles either. There's also Jews, not the natural Jews, for it's not a Jew that's a Jew by birth only, but the one that again, some distraction. Sorry about that. Not just the Jews that are born natural Jews, but we are talking about the ones that are spiritually born. Those are called the children of faith. So God has a way to bring them in, bring those in, and bring others in who are not. first message went out to the Jews. Later on, he brought the Gentiles. So we see that. But there's another kind of choice or choosing that I want to talk about today. This one was a great mystery. That's why I talked about it first. But there's another kind of election of grace that God does. He can choose whatever he wants and whoever he wants. That's a good story and a good lesson of that in Romans chapter 9. The lesson was shown unto us in the lives of, you know, some of God's chosen before. But Romans chapter 9 characterizes everything and summarizes it. He said, you know, let me read it to you from Romans, you know, chapter 9, talking about this way that God makes this election, you know. Now, first of all, confirm what I said before. He said, well, the book of Hosea says, I will call them my people, which were not my people. And I will call her beloved, which was not my beloved. So God decided to choose people who were rejected, nations who were rejected, the Gentiles who were rejected. God decided to choose them. And it's all good. God can do that. And he said, afterwards, in the place where it was said unto them that ye are not the people of God, he said, in that place, they will be counted as children of the living God. Yeah, so this is beautiful. You know, I mean, nations that are counted out, you know, God called them at the end. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, said, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, God's not going to get all of them. Yet only a remnant shall be saved. But he left the portion for the Jews. But yeah, a small portion. But then a majority portion coming from the Gentiles. It's just, you know, what the Lord does. And, you know, finally he said, look, the way that God brings it out, he pulls it out where nobody can understand it. Let me go earlier in the chapter and read to you what he said, you know, that how God can choose one and not the other, you know. Now, verse 8 of Romans 9. They which are the children of the flesh, they're not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. Now, this is the word of promise that was spoken to Sarah. Sarah shall have a son. And not only that, see, he said, look, it's not just the natural seed that's counted as children, but those are by promise. Now, Israel, natural Israel was natural, but God chose the Gentiles by promise. That's a big difference. Now, we are also, even among the Gentiles, not every Gentile will be saved just because they are Gentiles, you know, because even the Gentile nation depicted in the parable of the two sons that said yes at first, they actually did not do his will, and they themselves were rejected at the end. But let's read this other kind of grace of election. I mean, election of grace that God does. This is the word of promise. Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, when Rebecca, the wife of Isaac, was pregnant, the Bible said she was pregnant with twins. Now listen to this choosing by God. When she was pregnant with twins, the children not yet being born, she was still pregnant, the twins were in her womb, they'd never been born, they have neither done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election, now this is election of grace, my stand. It was said to her, the elder will serve the younger. Now that's a no-no in Israel. The elder, the firstborn, has the birthright. You can't take that and give that to somebody else. You know, the male that opens the matrix, that belongs unto the Lord. And they also get the birthright. And that's the way it was, you know, but God can choose anything he wants to do. He can even, you know, cross the hands. We've seen the crossing of the hands in the time, you know, when Joseph had Ephraim and Manasseh in Egypt. I'll talk about that some more when I have time. you know, and when, you know, Jacob came, you know, Joseph was bringing his two sons, guiding them, making sure that the older son will be at Jacob's right hand and the younger son will be at his left, you know, because he wanted Jacob to put his right hand of blessing upon the older. Well, Jacob crossed his hands. It's part of the mystery. I may talk about that tomorrow. But today, the elder was spoken, it was spoken of the elder that he will serve the younger. And the younger was Jacob. The elder was Esau. And Jacob was a supplanter. He was a trickster, you know. But God chose him. I mean, Esau was somebody that was hardworking, doing all kinds of things. You know, he was a herdsman, and he knew how to work hard, go to the field, get something, hunt, was a hunter also, make venison for his father and everything. I mean, he worked hard, to try to get a blessing. Jacob, he cut corners. You know, even his mother, they all planned this thing to cut corners, but yet he was the choice of God. That's how God chose it. And it played out. See, what God already chose later on played out. See, and you say, wow, I mean, this Jacob was a trickster. But that's one guy God chose. He said, look, Jacob have I chosen, and Esau I have rejected. And, you know, why? They haven't even done anything. They have not even been born. Why would you, put a blessing on the younger and reject the elder who should naturally get the firstborn blessing? Why? They haven't even done anything. They haven't even been born. Well, that's what you think. In God's mind, God's already seen their entire life. He's already known everything about them. When God chooses, it's because he already knows. Even though we are looking from this side, it looks as if God, why is he doing that like that? But he already knows. Listen to this. In the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, it gives us the complete picture and understanding of, you know, God's choices are based on his foreknowledge. Now, the choice may look, you know, unfair to us, but, you know, it's based on his foreknowledge. So let's read this together. You know, now he says, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Right? So, but first it was his foreknowledge, not the choice that came first. The foreknowledge came first. Then the choice. But we may be looking at the choice and forgetting God's foreknowledge. He foreknew them. He determined that they will be conformed to the image of his son. Predestinated them to be like Christ. And then listen to this. Whom he also predestinated, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. You can see the succession of events in God's mind. First, foreknowledge. Foreknowledge of God was before anything. Based on that foreknowledge, then he predestined that these ones will be like Christ. And because they will be like Christ, then he called them by the preaching of the gospel. And when he called them, you know, he also justified them and glorified them, etc. You know, by the preaching of the gospel, many are chosen, you know, through the signs and wonders. I mean, they are called, rather. But when you begin to preach the fine word, the fine wheat, that brings the selection and the separation. Multitudes love the miracles, and they followed Christ for the bread, the signs, and the wonders. But when they begin to drop some hard things, like, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you know, that I'm the bread from heaven, and, you know, the bread that Moses gave you is not the real thing. You know, I am my father and one. When he began to drop those kind of things, you know, that was a separation. But Jesus already knew who, you know, would be separated. But he calls whom he wants to call. Now, when he went out to pick his disciples, I mean, he saw many people and picked whoever he wanted, called it. Didn't call everybody, just called a, you know, a handful here and there, you know. But those that are with him, they are called, they are chosen, and they are faithful. Not only are they called, they're also chosen. But not only are they chosen, they're also faithful. But let's look some more about God's critical, you might call it critical choices. You know, the way that God makes choices. Never the way that we see things. You know, so in the book of Romans, you know, chapter 11, let's read verses 33 to 36. You see some more things about this subject. It's a deep subject, and it takes a lot of explaining, but I trust the Holy Spirit will bring it to you. The depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, the way he does things. They're just unsearchable. His ways are past finding out, not the way that man thinks. For who had known the mind of the Lord or been his counselor, you know, I mean, are you the one that's going to tell him what to do? You know, I mean, did you give anything to God first so that God can give it back to you? No. For of him and through him and to him and by him, everything are all things. To whom be glory forever and ever. If he chooses to make a choice one way or another, that's up to him. We can't fight God. You know, God is the one that does things. He does whatever he wants in heaven. Remember what Nebuchadnezzar said after he was restored from 7 years of losing his mind. God brought upon him. In Daniel chapter 34 and 35, he gave this incredible salute to the Lord, you know, after the Lord restored his mind. And let me read it to you. And out of that salute that he gave to the Lord, there was a hidden, of course, mystery in there that he revealed, which goes along with this topic. He said, now, see, you know, I, Nebuchadnezzar, in fact, let me read it from verse 34. You know, verse 34. Okay. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto the Lord, and so forth. My understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. And the kingdom is from generation to generation. He said, well, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing before the Lord, as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can stay his hand. You know, neither can anyone say to you, what do I stop? He doesn't need your permission or ask your opinion about anything. He does whatever he wants. You know, and I've often said to people, yeah, jokingly, but also seriously, well, if you don't like the way God does things, well, you're free to move to another universe. But in this universe, well, God's in charge. And he does what he wants. Yeah, if you don't like it, go set up yours or move someplace else. But right here in this universe. And remember, this universe consists of things we don't even know. Yeah, and it's all inside God's belly. The Milky Way, the constellations, everything. It's all inside of his belly. He conceived it all out of his mind. He spoke things out. You know. Now, you know, when God makes his choices, the things that he chooses, it's not the way that man chooses. We've seen some popular stories, like the story of David, when God told Samuel to go anoint king. Ah, David was not the father's choice. You know, Samuel told the father, well, bring your sons. Yeah, the father knew something that, you know, they're going to anoint king. So the father brought everybody but David. David was not the father's choice, but nevertheless, it was God's choice. You know, so the way that we choose is not the way that God chooses. In the story of Manasseh and Ephraim, well, you know, Joseph had one way of doing things. And he thought within his mind, and he had a right to think like that, actually, because that's the way things were done. You always blessed, the firstborn. You always gave the firstborn the birthright. The blessing of the birthright came from laying on of the right hand, not the left hand. So Joseph, he knew that, when he would, like I said, I'm going to talk more about this later, but when he wanted, blessing, to go to his son, his first son, he guided in such a way that, he was trying to make sure that Jacob would put his right hand upon the elder, but that's not the way God wanted it. Now, that story is in Genesis 48. I'm going to read that story today. Maybe I'll read it some other time, but since Manasseh was the older and Ephraim was the younger, so when Joseph was bringing these two sons to Jacob for a blessing, remember he's walking towards Jacob, right? And as he's walking towards Jacob, he puts Manasseh on his left hand. So he will be towards Jacob's right hand. And he puts Ephraim on his right hand, now facing Jacob. So Ephraim would be to Jacob's left hand. So he presented those two kids like that. Now at that time, Jacob's eyes were already being dim and so forth because of age. But when he presented the two kids, in Joseph's mind, I've got them right where I want them. Jacob must lay his right hand on the older, and he must lay his left hand on the younger. But guess what? When he came there, Jacob crossed his hands. Hallelujah. Now that's a blessing. That's a blessing of the crossing of hands. It's the election of grace. God can choose any way he wants. You can't tell him what to do. And Jacob tried to tell him what to do. Joseph said, hey, no, that's the younger. This is the older. You put your right hand on the older. And Jacob said, I know it. I know it. But now, that's the way it's going to be. He was a prophet at that time, Jacob was. And he knew exactly what he was going to do. Praise the Lord. And the Lord switched the blessing. Now, more of this is coming to us tomorrow by the grace of God. I think I'm going to finish this lesson tomorrow. But I want you to notice this. When God decides to choose someone who is not the first choice, you have to realize that it is in his mind to do so. And the way that God will make that choice is completely up to him. He will make the choice, and it's not anybody can do anything about it. God chooses, see, and there is nothing anyone can do. In fact, at one time, God was asking Job a question, because, there was a time that people were harassing Job so much that Job himself started to wonder, some questions. So God called Job out and asked him some questions, said, look, if you think you have understanding, well, then let me ask you some things that you can tell me. If you can tell me these things, then I'll tell you whether you have understanding or not. Jesus used to do the same thing. They asked him a question. By what authority do you do these things? Because, Jesus was always speaking differently than the scribes and the Pharisees. He didn't follow their style of teaching. He was a bit radical, called them, hypocrites and everything. And, he also healed the sick on Sabbath day. And he's like, just threw all their laws out the window, And so, they challenged him. He said, well, by what authority do you do these things? He said, well, I also will ask you a question. If you can answer me, then I'll answer you. You know, and I love that kind of wisdom from the Lord. You know, I pray that I will have that kind of wisdom sometimes to answer a question with a question. You know, they'll say, well, if you can tell me, then I'll tell you. And if you can't tell me, then maybe I won't tell you. They say, okay, the baptism of John, because Jesus already knew their minds, right? The baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it of man? Yeah, so Jesus already knew their thinking. So they're thinking in their head, well, if we say it was from heaven, then Jesus will say, well, why then didn't you believe it? Well, but if we say it was from man, well, we're going to be in trouble with the crowd because all the crowd thinks that John was a prophet. So they said, well, we cannot tell. And then Jesus said, well, neither tell are you. See? So, and you can't tell or ask God. So God asked Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Gird up your loins as a man. So I want to challenge everybody here today. Let's gird up our loins as a man. Let's see what God will ask you. If you have understanding to challenge God's choices, well, you know, if you can answer all these questions that God asked Job here, then maybe you can challenge God's choices. So let's see some of the things that God asked Job. In the book of Job, chapter 38, God asked Job these questions. If you know the answer to these things, then maybe you can challenge God's authority. So here's what God asked him. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up thou thy loins like a man. I will demand of you. You can answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it if you have understanding. Tell me, upon which things do I fasten the earth? Tell me, how do I hold up the earth? Do you know it? Tell it to me. I mean, who has stretched the line upon it? Where are the foundations fastened? Who laid the cornerstone there? Were you there? Asked him a lot of questions. When the morning stars sang together, sons of God shouted for joy. Where were you? Do you not understand these things? Who shut up the seas to the doors and so forth? You know, and he asked him a lot of things. Who come? Have you commanded the morning since your days? Can you tell the morning not to come up or tell the evening not to come? I mean, can you do all these things? And, you know, if you don't know how to do these little things, then, you know, who are you to challenge the choices of God? Where is the way that light dwelleth? You know, as for darkness, where is the place of it? In fact, he says, well, you know, who gave birth to the light? You know, and so on. He asked him all these questions. Do you understand these things? You know, where are the treasures of snow kept? You know, and also forth. You know, do you know the ordinances of heaven? He asked him. Can you set their dominion thereof upon the earth? Can you lift up your voices to the clouds? The abundance of waters may cover thee. Can you do these things? Well, if you can't do all these things, then who are we to challenge God's choices? And God will choose not as we choose. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 16, I have chosen you. You didn't choose me. That was Jesus' choice. We can't tell him what to choose and how to choose. As a matter of fact, the way that men choose and the way that we think, in fact, those things mean nothing to God most times. Listen to this in the book of Luke chapter 16. Here's how Jesus presented this subject. In the book of Luke chapter 16, he said to them in verse 15, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. I mean, the things that we choose, God says, well, I hate those things. It's an abomination. Abomination means it's repulsive. I mean, it's just repulsive. God doesn't want to see it. But these are the things that we think are highly esteemed. What are the things that we think are highly esteemed? Position in life, titles, you know, accolades and wealth and all these things that are highly esteemed among men. You know, these are the things that, you know, I mean, if you have these things, then you stand out in society. In fact, some churches today, because of the influence of satanic forces, choose their leadership based on, you know, common, you know, place wealth. And you see people who are affluent in the world, and they put them in position in the church. Well, because that's, you know, the seat of Satan, planting his people there. But that's how they make choices. People make choices like that. Amen. Jesus said here, there are things that are highly esteemed among men. These things are an abomination to God. So God doesn't care about the things that we think hold so highly. His choices are different. You know, here are some of the other choices of God that are different. People that are rejected, despised. This may be the people that God will choose. Christ himself was despised. Isaiah 53 said he was rejected and despised of men. He looked down upon him, thought he was nothing, but he was the chosen one. And, you know, it's not like you think. Jesus told the Pharisees, harlots and all kinds of people might enter the kingdom before you, because eventually those people will repent. And those of you that are stuck up on your righteousness, you won't even make it. And, you know, so those are the ways that Jesus chooses. Now, knowing therefore that the choices of God are like that, what is the way that we whom God had chosen to be vessels of mercy, how should we then behave? Now, because this was not our choice. In a great house, Paul said, well, there are many kinds of vessels in a great house. You can have all kinds of vessels. You can have some vessels that are unto honor and some vessels that are unto dishonor. You know, what does that mean? Well, that means you have all kinds of vessels in your house. Plates, pots, some of them are rusted. And then some of them are kept for special occasions. Some of them are for gold, silver, and so on. Listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and earth, and some unto honor and some unto dishonor. So vessels of honor are kept for special occasions. Vessels of dishonor, just throw them around anyhow. You know, so if the Lord would choose vessels of honor, and if you've been chosen to be a vessel of honor, how then should we conduct ourselves? Well, let's see. Read verse 19. It'll give you a clue. It said, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knows them that are his, and he'll choose according to what he knows. His foreknowledge always precedes his choice. Now, but let everyone that is chosen, let them make sure that they depart from iniquity and remain faithful. For those that are with Christ, they are called, they are chosen, and they are faithful. If God has chosen you, well, then what should we do then? We must cleanse ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore, dearly beloved, these precious promises and this great mystery that God had revealed unto us, that we should be chosen in him from even before the world began, what should we do then? Say, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the spirit and of the mind, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. That's God's choice. He chose us to be like that, and we must walk worthy of his calling. Finally, my brother, let me say this. I may continue this tomorrow. Maybe I'll talk more about the crossing of hands. We'll see. But, you know, the way God chooses is this. Remember, everything is based on foreknowledge. For whom he did foreknow, them he also called. After he predestinated them to be like Christ, he called them. He chose them. So, he foreknew everything. And the Lord showed this, explained this to me one time. You know, and I think I've spoken about it in this platform before. There was a great door that said, you know, there was an inscription on the door. Say, whosoever will, let him enter herein. That was an inscription. Whosoever will means, you know, it's a call to anybody. So everybody is passing by, I'm looking. Some people look at the door, they see the inscription, they just walk away. Others stop for a bit to try to check it out. And maybe they, you know, thinking, maybe I'll enter in, maybe I won't enter in. They stay or they go, you know, some choices here and there. But you know, sometimes they open the door, or maybe not. I even saw when someone put their hand on their handle, almost opened the door, and changed their mind, shook their head, and walked off. Occasionally, one person might open the door. When he opens the door, but the invitation was whosoever will. Oh, so finally, one person opens the door. He gets inside the door shuts automatically behind him. And because the door shuts, he looks back behind him. It just happened so quickly. And he looks back behind him and he sees an inscription on the door. The inscription this time is different than what was at the front of the door. What he saw at the front of the door was, whosoever will, let him come. But when he came and the door was shut and he looked back, he saw another inscription on the door. Now he's inside, but he's looking back at the door, sees a different inscription, and the inscription says, you have been chosen. I said, wow. And that's how God explained it to me. See, at first, it's like, whosoever will, everybody can come, but they will not all come. But he that finally comes has been chosen by God. Now, nobody knows it. You don't know who is going to be saved or not, but God knows. And because he knows, see, his foreknowledge always precedes his choice. Because he knows when he makes choices, we who don't know, looking from the outside, we may not understand what God is doing. And we just see some things that God does as silly. But God is never silly. Everything is calculated by the mind of the Lord in place, you know, by what he already knows and what he has already foreseen. I know Abraham that he will order his house after the Lord. Therefore, God chose him. God already knew him, you know, and so on. And, you know, who, if God doesn't choose somebody, it's because God already knows which way they are going. But only God knows that. Nobody else. Our responsibility is to preach the gospel to everybody as if everybody is chosen, because you don't know who's chosen and who's not. And God's not going to tell you. God will never tell anybody that, oh, this one was chosen, this one was not. That's his knowledge only, for himself only. You preach the gospel to everybody just the same way. You love everybody the same way, you know, whether they are the son of perdition or the son of redemption. Doesn't matter. But God knows the choices that he will make. And when God finally chooses, and he knows how to choose them too. You know, the people that God will choose, Jesus said, I've chosen you, you have not chosen me. The people that he will choose, he knows how to equip them too for what he has chosen them to do. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's my lesson today. I'll call it part one, because I'm going to end it here, but there's more to be said about these choices of God that he makes and how he makes them different than the way that we think, you know, and how his choice will stand finally. The Lord said, my counsel that shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, saith the Lord. And he knows the end from the beginning, so he can always make the right choice. Now, if we had the foreknowledge that God has, we would also make right choices about everything, because you've already seen everything play out, you know, but we don't have that foreknowledge and we never will have it. God reserves that for himself. Occasionally, he might show you a little bit of things to come, but that's only a small portion of his knowledge. But for the most part, God wants us to trust him. You know, even when you don't know, you trust him. See, that's the beauty of our relationship with Christ. We don't know what he knows, but we trust him. Because we trust him, you know, we are confident that his choice is the best. The best way to pray when we don't know what to do is to say, Lord, you already know what lies ahead. I don't. If I'm to go left or right, you already know which way leads to, you know, your perfect will, and which one may not. I don't know. So, Lord, guide me and help me make the right choice. And if I'm about to make the wrong choice, block my way. See, if you can give the Holy Spirit permission to do that, then everything will always come all right. But most of the time, we don't. We just want to do things our way. Say, well, Lord, I want to do this. I pray that you bless it. Well, he may bless it, but that may not be his choice. You know, so rather than us making our own selections and asking God to put a blessing on it, why don't we have him make the choice for us? So that's a better way out. Now, there is more to come concerning how God chooses, and you stay tuned. I believe God's going to bless your heart. Now, those of you who have been chosen to follow the Christ, now, you were not the best. You know, some of you, like myself, I mean, I wasn't an angel or anything. Neither were you. But God chose you. And Paul said, I will not frustrate the grace of God. Look at Paul himself. He was not the best. In fact, he was one of the worst. Was actually killing the Christians, doing all kinds of things, but yet God chose him. That's who God chose. And it didn't matter whatever anybody thought about it. In fact, the early disciples, they didn't trust him. They couldn't believe that he was converted, because he was the one that used to kill them and got them all hurled into prison and everything. So that was a thorn in his flesh that followed him, and he couldn't shake it, but God chose him. Despite all the things that he did wrong, he was God's choice. Praise the Lord. You know, so you look at your life. I mean, all the things that you've done wrong before you came to Christ, yet God chose you, and you are here today serving the Lord. You know, so we ought to give him the praise and give him the glory. So that's it. You know, when I look at my life, you know, I wasn't the best. In fact, you know, in my personal family, I was the last born of several, but I was the chosen one. I was the first to receive the gospel of salvation and the understanding this truth in my family. I was the chosen one, not because I wanted to be. I didn't even have a clue, but it was God's choice. And whether you have a clue about it or not, if it is his choice, it's going to come to pass. Even if you're not preparing for it. David wasn't preparing to be king. Didn't know anything about it. Wasn't even invited at first. But he was the chosen one. And most of the people that God chose, they're like that. They're not thinking of it. They're not wanting to be it. But that's God's choice. And when he chooses them, he also qualifies them. That's right. You've heard people say, he doesn't call those who are qualified, but he qualifies those who he calls and those whom he chooses. And I want us to pray and say, Lord, I thank you for choosing me. That's right. Now, if there's anybody that's in this room today, I know most of our members understand the gospel of grace. But if you're here listening, or maybe somebody forwarded you the lesson and you don't understand it, I'm going to give you an opportunity today to come on in. God already chose you, but you may still be outside that door thinking it's your choice. Well, it is your choice, but God already knows. And God is inviting you. Whosoever will, come on in. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. So I say to you today, wherever you are, you come and take. And it's the same thing for everything. The greatest gift that God can give us is redemption from eternal damnation and a life in Christ. That's the greatest gift. But every other gift that God gives us is the same way. The Lord opens his hands and satisfies the desires of every living thing. Opens his hands and come and take. You can come, or you may doubt, or you may not believe. It's your choice. If you come, well, come. Jesus said, Peter said, well, if that's you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat. See, but when you step out of the boat, you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. You know, so the invitation is to everybody. Anything that you want from God, come and take of the water of life freely. Come and take. You know, the buffet table is set. Come and take yours. But It's up to you if you come. It's up to you if you take. You may take and you may not take. It's your choice, quote unquote. However, God already knows whether you are going to come or not come. But that God might be justified, you know, he makes it open to us this way. He said, well, by their fruits, you will know them. That's all we can tell, you know. But, you know, God also has a way. Somebody may be a murderer today, killing the Christians and doing everything. He said, by their fruits, you will know them. Well, that's what he was. That was then. Today, maybe different. Even some of the terrorists we have today, you know, we hate them. You know, this country, there are some people killing Christians and so forth. We hate all of them because of what they do. And we should, you know, hate them. Because, I mean, they're killing people of God. But you shouldn't. You know, God said, well, pray for your enemies. You know, your mind said, well, I should hate them. They're killing my brethren and so forth. But Jesus said, well, pray for your enemies. You don't know. One of them that's killing people today might be like a Saul of Tarsus. You know, one day the Lord might save you and might become a champion of the faith which he once destroyed. That's right. Because God's choices are not man's choices. And let me wrap this up by saying what God said in Isaiah 55. He said, my ways are not your ways. And my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are higher above the earth, even so are my ways different than your ways. God's choices are different than man's choices. The way God chooses, different. He chooses differently than we would choose. And he calls and he chooses based upon his foreknowledge. And thank God that I was chosen. Thank God that he saw beyond my faults. He saw something good in me. You know, and he called me nonetheless. Despite wandering away in sin and so forth, he called me into this life of glory. And I want us to pray. First, I'm going to pray over the room. And then I want everybody to pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God that we have shared today. Just a drop in the bucket of trying to understand God's choosing, God's choices, God's ways. We can't. We can't figure it all out. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou understand the Almighty unto perfection? We can't do it. But if it pleases you, Lord, to reveal yourself in us and reveal yourself to us, then we thank you. For those of us that it has pleased you, Lord, to call us out of darkness, and to separate us from the life of sin and bring us into this glorious life in Christ, we thank you, Lord. For those that are still in the valley of decisions, thinking, should I open that door? Should I go in? Should I turn my life around? This and that and so forth. As many as have been ordained to eternal life. Jesus said, I pray not for the world. Can't save the world. But I pray for those who will hear about me through the preaching of these ones, those whom you have chosen. And Jesus said, I will lose none of them. For everyone that has been chosen by God, you will come. And I pray against the shackles of sin, discouragement, and everything that's holding people back from giving their life fully, being all out and sold out for Christ. Whatever is holding people back, those who are listening in today or maybe listening later on, I come against those things in the name of Jesus. Break every chain. Glory to God. And loose the bands of wickedness from the necks of the people that they may come in, such as should be saved. Let them be added to the church in the name of Jesus Christ. And those of us who have received this calling, this grace, this election of grace, and how that he called you, not because you were the best, or the cleanest, but chose you anyway. Let us not frustrate the grace of God. Let us walk worthy of this grace and this calling. Father, we give you praise and we give you glory. And sometimes, you know, when we're struggling to believe and where our faith is not working just right, mercy steps in because of his choice. Choose to bless you anyway. Praise God. Martha wasn't truly understanding that Lazarus was coming out of that grave. But Jesus, because of his mercy and grace, brought him out of that grave anyhow. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to grant us this grace to understand him more and more every day, to whom alone be praise and glory from this time forth, even forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.